We're going to talk about how to be rich in this world. Rich in this world, okay? Now, I'm going to have to lead you into this because some people don't believe it. Some people think, well, no, they have a religious idea of what being rich is. Yes, I'm rich spiritually. You're rich, being rich spiritually, you will be rich in other areas too. Are you game for this? I don't know. You people here? Hallelujah. So if you open up to John chapter 12, we'll begin this. Glory be to God. Now, is this a good and timely message?
Yes.
Well, what about the depression and the recession? You know, they're going to have it. If they keep talking this way and believing for it, they're going to have it. They're speaking the wrong thing. Does it have to affect you? No. I'm serious about this. We can go as far as this as we want, and I've got this thing down in my spirit, and I really want to get it out to you because it's no good if it's just sitting there in me. I want somebody else to join me with it. Yes. Hallelujah. Join in it. Yes. Glory be to God. You ready?
Yes.
Well, let's pray. Father, in Jesus' name, I thank you for this opportunity to be in your spirit, to be in your anointing, to be in your word, and to be changed by you speaking to us. I thank you, Father, that you are anointing us right now to hear and to speak, and we're engaging in all the things that you have for us, Holy Ghost. We give you license to operate and be who you are in us and among us, and we begin associating with you. You are God in the earth today. We love you. We worship you. We thank you for all the great things you have in store. In Jesus' name, amen. John chapter 12 and verse 1. Then Jesus, 6 days before the Passover, came to Bethany, where Lazarus was, which had been dead, whom he raised from the dead. Lazarus was there. What do you think? You think he's having a good time?
Yes.
Hallelujah. He was dead, now he's not. Verse 2, and there they made him a supper. Who'd they make a supper for? Jesus. Look at this, and Martha served. You think that was, you know, who's that, Martha Stewart? You think that was? She's the original Martha. Now, this is important, and people blow this off. Is every word of God important?
Yes.
Every word is important. He's telling you who served here. Was that a big deal? I'm telling you it was a big deal. You meditate on it. Martha was the one who had the best parties. Martha was the one who served the best. Now, they used to do this with the teas. Do you remember that? People, they would even advertise it in the paper. Do you remember? We're having a tea. Tea will be served over at Lynn's house. And somebody else will be serving the tea. Do you remember this?
No.
I remember. People, where are you? I'm telling you, they used to do this, and tea would be served by such and so. Are you here, Tanja? Did you remember this? Yes, she remembers it. Glory to God. It's a big deal. Whoever's serving, it depends on the quality of the tea time and the finger sandwiches. And they made for him a supper, and Martha served. But Lazarus was one of them that sat at the table with him, with Jesus, then took Mary a pound of ointment of spikenard. Very costly. Everybody say, very costly. What does that mean? And other people, in other places, it'll say it's like a year's wages. Are there perfumes that are that expensive? Well, evidently there are. But a whole pound of perfume, it was a year's wages. It was very costly. And anointed the feet of Jesus and wiped his feet with hair, and the house was filled with the odor of the ointment. Then saith one of his disciples, Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, which should betray him, why was not this ointment sold for 300 pence and given to the poor? You people here, have you ever heard this before? Well, why should rich be driving a brand new car? He could have taken that money and given it to the poor. Why should you be wearing something like that? Why should you be wearing a fine silk suit? You should take that money and give to... Who did it say said this?
Judas
said it. Do you want to be lining up and associating with Judas? I don't think so. So watch your tongue when you start criticizing the things that other people have and do. Especially if God gave it to them, who are you criticizing? If God gave you that suit or gave you that car, who are you criticizing then? He could have sold it and gave it to the poor. This he said not because he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief and had the bag and bear that was put therein. Well, of course then. Right? Sell this, give it to the poor. Why? So you can have this big, thick bag of a year's wages that I can dip into as I see fit. This is what he was thinking. This is the motivation that came from that criticism of somebody else. It's ungodly. Goes back to covetousness, and that's one of the commandments. Don't do it. Don't go there. Hallelujah. And you won't go there if you stay hooked up with me, and you'll see where we're going tonight. This he said not because he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief and had the bag and bear that which was put there. And did Jesus have a bag? Yes. Poor Jesus had no place to lay his head and didn't have a bag. Not even a bag to lay his head on. Well, if he did have a bag to lay his head on, it would have been full of money. Yeah. Now, people don't like this. People don't like this. But I have to get you over this hurdle, okay? We're going to have to start associating and identifying. Everybody say identify. Identifying with Jesus. Is that a good thing?
Yes.
Jesus, we have to identify with him. Because if we don't, we're not gonna think right. We're gonna have this perverted religious idea of what it is to be a Christian. Oh, nowhere to lay my head, no bag to put my 50 cents in. I don't think so. Let's see you feed 5,000 people from 2 loaves and some fishes. He had the goods, people. Where did his supply come from? I know I'm way, way ahead of myself right now, but where did his supply come from? Heaven. Now, was he dependent on the things of the world then? No, he was dependent on the kingdom of heaven. And what did he talk? He preached this. This was all what he was talking about all the time. So where's your source? Where's your supply coming from? Heaven. This is why when somebody criticizes what you have, they're touching the wrong thing. They're touching the anointing. How did you get it? As long as you got it by the anointing and not by thievery. Oh, my goodness. Welcome to church. He was a thief and had the bag, and I get a kick out of this. Do you think Jesus knew this? Do you think Jesus knew that he was a thief? Well, it says so right. He was a thief and he had the bag. Jesus was so prosperous, he could leave the bag in charge of a thief, and he knew that there'd be enough in there. Now, if he was so concerned about it and pinching pennies, he wouldn't have given it to the thief, would he? So keep it as far away from him as you can. He's a thief. People should be able to steal out of our coffers and bags and it wouldn't make any difference. Why? Because our supply is not the bag. And Jesus said, "Let her alone. Against the day of my burying hath she kept this. For the poor you have with you, always have with you, but me you have not always." Now listen here. Jesus said, "The poor you have with you, but me you don't have with you always." Do you understand? Who was Jesus identifying himself with? The poor? I tell you, teachers in those days were held up on a high pedestal. They were like, they were the men. They were the ones that were held the highest class in the society. He even said that, do you know that the Pharisees loved to have the best seats in the marketplace and blah, blah, blah. Who did Jesus identify himself with? The poor? He just made a complete contrast between himself and the poor. He said, "The poor you always have with you, but me you don't have." Do you understand? One is poor, one isn't. There's a contrast, and Jesus was not the poor one. This is important, people, because we've got this wrong image of Jesus. He was poor. He was not poor. He didn't call himself poor. All right. Think thousands of people are going to follow around a poor man? There he goes. We want to be just like him. We want to be poor. No, you want to have full, abundant supply so that you can move with God in everything at any time. Okay, people, hallelujah. If you'll stay with me on this, I'll help you. I'll help you lead into this where you'll begin to identify yourself with God, who is the provider of all things. His name is Jehovah Jireh. He is the one who provides. How can he provide for you if he doesn't have anything? And whose child are you? A child of Jehovah Jireh, the provider. There is no place for poverty in the body of Christ. No place, or we're not identifying with the right one. We're identifying with some other gospel. Ooh, brother. And people would say that this is some other gospel. They'd say the gospel of wealth is some other gospel. It's not. This is the gospel, the kingdom of God. Jesus said if you would seek the kingdom first, all things, what? All things that you need to eat and wear and live in will be added to you. From what? The kingdom of God. Brother, I didn't know if I wanted to hear this. Well, you need to hear this. You need to hear this because out in the world you're hearing everything else. The economy, it's going bust. But it's not your economy. Shoo. You there? 2 Corinthians 8, 9. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that you through his poverty might be rich. I got to kick over a sacred cow right now. People say that he was rich in heaven, and then when he came to the earth, he was poor. I got news for you. As soon as he came into the earth, kings came and gave him gold. It had to be that way. Immediately, he was the wealthiest baby in town. What do you think they lived on from then on for quite a while? You think a king's just going to give a little bit of gold? Here's a nugget. Kings give according to what they have. Hallelujah. Are you here? And I realize some of this you got to screw your head on the other way because it doesn't make sense to your religious mind. Well, get rid of that thing. Stomp it out. Kick over that sacred cow and get what's truth. The truth will set you free. Hallelujah. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ that though he was rich, everybody say he was rich. Jesus identified himself as being rich. He said, the poor were with you always, but I'm not with you. Do you understand? He was not identifying himself with the poor. Here it says, he was made poor, that you through his becoming poverty might be made rich. When did he become poverty then? We just showed you. I mean, I could tell you, take you to a whole bunch of different scriptures where he's not identifying himself as a poor man while he was here. It had to be on the cross, and that's where he bore poverty. Now listen to me. Did he bear your sin? So are now you a sinner saved by grace? Or do you remain in sin when you're saved? What are you now? You're now the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus because he bore your sin. Right here it says he bore your poverty so you could be what? In his wealth, in his riches. So where are you now? I'm still poor. I'm a poor sinner saved by grace. No, you're not. You're in his wealth. You're in his riches. You're in him. As he is, so are you. Where? In this world. Tell you, blow the top of your head off if you start to get onto this stuff. Hallelujah. How rich you people are. Rich, I don't think you should talk about this stuff in the church. I know, and that's the problem. People aren't. They need to start seeing themselves and identifying with the living Christ and not the dead old religious tradition being in sin, a sinner saved by grace. All right. Part of the reason that this message needs to be brought forth is because the glory that's going to come into the earth, this is part of the glory that God said he was going to do when he shook everything. He's going to shake everything, and then the silver is mine, the gold is mine. Well, if it's his, where's he going to display it? Who's he going to give it to? He's going to show it through. You! Well, that just sounds selfish. Well, it's not. God's your source, not your job, not your pension, not your husband. God is your source, and he's got it all. And when we start to see it this way, then all those other things have to flee away. You sound like one of them prosperity preachers. Thank you. Jesus was made poor that we could be made rich. It's in your Bible. Hallelujah. Are we just going to rip that part out? We like the other parts of the gospel. We like the part where he forgives us of our sins. We like the part where he healed us. He bore our sicknesses in his body. Well, begin to like the part where he bore your poverty that you may walk in his wealth. Everybody say his wealth.
His wealth.
So not your wealth, his wealth. What if God wants to get some of his wealth to the people around you? How's he going to do that? He's going to use you. Wouldn't it be easier for him to use somebody who's obedient and believing him for the wealth of God so that all he has to do is say, Julia, go and give them $100,000. Go buy their house for them. They're having a hard time. And you get it mixed up and you go, okay, I'll just buy. Couldn't figure out which house it was. I'll buy the next three down the road just to cover my bases. Oh, brother, now you're being exact. I'm talking about the wealth of God here. I'm not talking about your wealth. Can God buy people's houses for them? Okay. Whose wealth are you to walk in? Your own? Hey, you better get a second job. It's your wealth. You got one job, and that is to believe. You're a believer. That's your number one job. You're going to believe God. That's what you do. So you do have a second job. If you're working a regular job, this is your other job. And this job will overtake your other job every time. Hallelujah. Where were we? Galatians 3, verse 9. So then, they which be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. Now, I'm running through these first things really quick. We do have a series called The Gospel of Wealth. It covers most of this stuff quite thoroughly. What I want you to do is see and start to identify with Jesus, okay? And look what he said here. Who's he having you identify with right here? Abraham. So then they which be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. You're blessed with Abraham if you're of faith. You understand? Glory be to God. Verse 10, for as many as were of the works of the law were under the curse, for it is written, cursed is everyone that continues not in all the things that are written in the book of the law to do them. But that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God, it is evident, for the just shall live by faith. And the law was not of faith, but the man that does them shall live in them. Verse 13, Christ, who? Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. Was poverty under the curse, by the way? Go back. Like I said, I don't have time to do all this, but was poverty under the curse? Yes, sickness was under the curse. Depression was under the curse. It's a long curse. He took great pains to list all these things out, and then he just said things like, everything that is evil and terrible that I haven't listed in here is under the curse. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law. When did he redeem us from the curse of the law? On the tree, on the cross. It says this specifically here. Now remember the scripture we just read. He was made poor. He was made, look it up, it says poverty. He was made the essence of poverty. So that through his being made poverty, you would be made rich. When? On the cross. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone that hangs on the tree. Verse 14, that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. So, if you've received Christ, the blessing promised to Abraham is now where? On you. So now you're still cursed. You're still poor. You're still in sin. No, you are now blessed with faithful Abraham. Is that a big deal? Let's go see how big of a deal this is. Glory be to God. Go to Genesis chapter 13 and verse 2. And Abram was very rich in cattle and silver and in gold. Abram, it says here, this is before God even called him Abraham. Abram was very rich. Everybody say very rich.
Very rich.
In cattle, silver, and gold. Well, the blessing of Abraham is to come on you. Who are you supposed to be associating with? Who are you identifying yourself with? Abraham, faithful Abraham, who was very rich in cattle, silver, and gold. Get this screwed onto your head. Are you very rich?
Yes.
What group do you hang out with? The poverty Christians with their cave theology?
No.
You got to get this, people, because if you don't identify, you don't start seeing yourself as rich in God, super abundantly supplied, you'll miss it. And you'll make excuses and go down the traditional trail of blessed are the poor. They don't read the rest of that. They shall inherit something. Hallelujah. Jesus preached the good news to the poor. Well, what would be the good news to a poor man? That'll be healed? No. That'll get saved? No. That he will not be poor anymore. And people do that. They get this poverty mentality, and some of us have been there. We give this poverty mentality where we can't associate. We can't see ourselves beyond where we should be. It's the same way in other areas. It's the same way with a sinner. If you always see yourself as a sinner, what are you going to do? You're going to gravitate towards sin. If you see yourself in poverty all the time, you're going to gravitate towards poverty and making bad decisions. But if you see yourself as being a success and blessed of the Lord, you're going to make the right decisions and the blessing of the Lord will be on you. When you're identifying yourself with someone, you identify yourself with them as in that category or class. Now, we don't have a very class-ridden society here, but in some caste cultures and classes, they don't associate or even talk to somebody else. Go into some wealthy family's houses and they will not talk to the servants at all. Unless it's, please, get me another napkin. I've slobbered on myself. You understand? Is that person associating or identifying themselves with the class of the servant? No. What class are you in? You're the God-type class. You're a child of the living God whose name is Jehovah Jireh. He's the possessor of heaven and earth. How could you possibly identify yourself in poverty? You can't snap out of it. Or you're going to have a problem walking on streets of gold. Be like, oh, I'm not worthy. Yes, you are. You're worthy because Jesus made you worthy. He took your unworthiness to give you his worthiness. Now, who do you identify yourself with? With him and his worthiness. Glory be to God. You've got to get this. You've got to have scriptural basis to build your faith on so that you're not just out here, yes, I like this message. I like prosperity message. I think I'll grab onto it. No, this is scripture.
Yes.
Just the same as Jesus bore your sins in his body on the tree, he bore the curse of poverty on the tree so that you could walk free from it. Hallelujah. Genesis chapter 24 and verse 1. And Abraham was old, well stricken in age, and the Lord had blessed Abraham in all things. The Lord had blessed Abraham in all things. Is that good or bad? Is he the same God today? Are you in the same faith that Abraham was in? So who are you associating with and what kind of blessing comes on you? A blessing for all things. Quickly, if you would, Proverbs 10:22, the blessing of the Lord makes rich and he adds no sorrow with it. The blessing of Abraham was to come on you. We see that the blessing to Abraham made him extremely rich in cattle, in silver, and gold. And by the time he was old, he was blessed in all things. This same blessing that was on Abraham is to come on the Gentiles through faith. What was the blessing? The blessing of the Lord, it makes rich. Is this in your Bible? It makes poor. It gives you trials and tribulations to make you more holy. No, the blessing of the Lord makes you rich, and he adds no sorrow with it. Who's going to try to add the sorrow? That would be the Judases of the world who come along and say, you should sell that and give it to the poor. Why should I sell it and give it to the poor if God's the one who gave it to me? And besides, he's given me more to give to the poor. The blessing of the Lord makes rich, and he adds no sorrow with. Now, do you see who you're associating with now? If you don't meditate on those scriptures, they can't go in any other direction. This is where they go. You're associating with Abraham, who was extremely rich and blessed of the Lord. This same blessing is to come on you through Jesus Christ. He bore your poverty that you could bear his wealth and riches. Who do you associate with? The Lord Jesus. Is he poor? Is Jesus poor right now? Your Lord. He's not poor. He owns it all now. Okay. You sure? Because I'm not going to let you get away with it. Who do you associate with? Who do you identify yourself with now? The poor? Are you poor?
No.
You're identifying yourself with who? The King of Kings and the blessing of Abraham. You are no longer the poor. You are the rich. Now get that through your head. Yeah, but you don't know what I'm doing. You don't know my closet. It's so bare. I don't care. Stop identifying with that. That's not you. Identify with the Word. Because when you identify with the Word, what? That enables him to be able to come through, and we'll see that. Hang on here. 1 Timothy chapter 6. Who are you identifying with? And the rich. You're no longer the poor. Everybody say, I'm no longer the poor.
Jesus bore my poverty.
I'm the rich. I identify with the rich. That's you. Next time you see some obviously rich-looking person sitting in a hotel lobby, go sit right up next to him. Why? It's like looking in a mirror. That's you. You're rich. And this takes some work. Do you know that? It takes some work. Does it take work to see yourself healed when you don't feel well? It takes work. You got to grab onto it. You got to say it. You got to use your faith and put it there because you are rich. Supernaturally rich. It's not based on this world system. Yeah, but my job, they won't give me a raise. Who cares? It's not based on that. Was Jesus basing his wealth on that? There were times when it looked like that bag was probably pretty empty. He certainly didn't have enough in that bag, right, for a full year's wages to buy some spikenard and pour it on himself. But did he need to?
No,
the provision came anyway. Everybody say the provision, came anyways. It wasn't based on your bank account. You start basing it on your bank account, you're going to miss it. All right, you ready? 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 17. This is to you, by the way. Did you know the Bible's written to you?
Yes.
Was Paul writing to Timothy so he could share this with the world? Or was he writing this to Timothy so he could command those in the church? That's right. So this is written to you. Ready? Put your seatbelt on. Charge them that are rich in this world. No. Now listen, all this stuff I just said, who are you identifying with?
The rich.
The rich. So who's this talking to? This is talking to you. Charge them who are rich in this world. Where?
You know, that's in the other world when we get to heaven.
No, no. That's in this world. You are rich. Everybody say, I identify myself, as being rich in this world. So this scripture is for me. Ha, ha, ha. Charge them that are rich in this world that they be not high-minded, nor trust in uncertain riches. Now listen, it's this word charge. I did a study on this. It's fascinating. Let me read what I got down here. It says, transmit a message from God to. Come in among them as an equal and transmit a message from God to them. That's what charge means. Charge them, meaning you enter in among them and charge them that are rich in this world. Why? Because you're rich in this world. This is the way we behave. Charge them that are rich in this world that they be not high-minded nor trust in uncertain riches, guess what the word trust is? And we just did a series on this. It's the word hope. Don't hope in uncertain riches. What would uncertain riches be? The economy, the banks, stocks, bonds, the government. Do you understand? The Bible right now is saying to the rich people, which is you, don't trust in the uncertain riches. You people still here? Don't trust in these uncertain riches. Why? Don't put your hope in that. But in the living God who gives us richly all things to enjoy. So he's saying don't trust or put your hope in uncertain riches, but put your hope in the living God who gives us richly all things to enjoy. Hallelujah. So where's our hope? Where's our trust? Where's our faith? In him who gives us richly. And when it says but, it means the exact same way. Just like people would put trust in their 401k or whatever it is or their bank account, we have a greater bank account in heaven. And what do we trust in? And we're going to see this as time goes on. I don't know how far I'll be able to get into it tonight. But we're going to see this, that you can't have trust in both. One supersedes the other. And which one do you think, just first offhand, which one supersedes the other? If God's telling you not to trust in these uncertain things, but in the living God, okay, he's living. And he does what? He takes away from us every week. The living God who gives us richly all things to enjoy. So these rich in this world, what if they did this? Are they no longer rich in this world? See, God took their stuff. No, he's saying this is how they're rich in this world, because they're not doing this. They're not trusting, because it's easy to do. God brings you and fills up your bank account, and the first thing you want to do is what? Take a breath and relax. We had an example of that, a parable where the Lord said this man was prospering and he built more barns. He said, oh, I've got many things laid up for many years. I'll just relax and take, you know. And Jesus said, no, you're missing it. He wasn't missing it in building up barns. He was missing it in not giving and not increasing. Did you know we're commanded to increase? Your last days can be better than the first. Start walking in the prosperity of God. My goodness. Don't trust in uncertain riches. Don't put your hope in uncertain riches. Put it in the living God who richly provides us with all things for our enjoyment. I'm telling you, he strung these words together so well. There's no wiggle room in there. What is God, the living God, doing as you trust him? He's providing you with all things for your enjoyment. Even if it's a year's supply of spikenard, whatever that is. Well, you should have sold that spikenard and gave it to the poor. No, who are you siding up with at that point? Stop it. You see, once you start to see yourself being provided for by God, you're not going to worry about anybody else's stuff, are you? That's where covetousness leaves. And people don't get that, oh, I can't covet my neighbor's Mercedes. Or I can't covet their house. Or I can't, oh, what am I going to do? It's so hard. Have you seen their car? They're looking at the wrong thing. They're trusting in the uncertainty of riches. When if they're looking at God, they realize that all things are possible for them. God can get them three of those Mercedes. And not even break a sweat. Brother, you're talking about cars and houses and clothes. Jesus talked about this. And he said they would come from where? The kingdom of heaven. Cars from the kingdom of heaven? Yes! I don't know, brother. I'm telling you, this is why this is so foreign to some people. It doesn't strike your religious bone very well, does it? You know, people have a religious bone, and when you know, it's like the chiropractor or whatever, or the doctor with a little bangy thing there. I'm very scientific right now. The bangy thing, and it hits you on the the knee and your reflexes bounce, you know? There's something about religious bones in people that you strike this nerve and they have a hard time with it. It's like your funny bone. Incapacitates you for a while and there's nothing funny about it. You can't possibly mean this, that God is intending to make his people rich. You can't read your Bible with open eyes and get anything else from it. You can't. You have to close it with a religious, some kind of blinders on to see anything other than this. Don't trust in uncertain riches, but in the... Are you seeing this? Don't trust in uncertain riches. If we could just cover up this whole carpet up here with $100 bills, so there's millions of dollars just sitting there, God would tell you still not to trust in that, but in what? In him. He's comparing himself as the supply to great wealth. And he's telling the rich in this world, don't trust in the uncertainty of riches, but trust in him. And I'm telling you, he's like a broken record over this. Why? Because he's the one who blessed Abraham. Glory be to God. I think you're starting to get it. Hallelujah. That they do good, that they be rich in good works, ready to distribute, willing to communicate, laying up in store for who? Oh, brother, now you're telling me people are supposed to give for themselves? Absolutely. This sounds so selfish. This is the most selfish message I've ever heard. Are you kidding me? You'll be able to give more when you have more. Do you understand? And be more of a blessing to people. The Bible says you're supposed to lend to many nations and borrow from none. Nations, brother. You think nations are going to come and ask you for $100? We need to get out of this crisis. We have a $100 crisis, please. Rich, would you lend us $100? You're going to have to expand the way you think about yourself. I'm telling you, the Bible is not limiting you. You limit yourself. And we do this through our religious bone. Or some other stupid things we're thinking. But it's not from what the Bible's telling us. Do good, be rich in good works, ready to distribute, willing to communicate. The word rich is the same word. Charge them that are rich in the world. Trust in God who richly provides us with all things. Be rich in good works. How are you going to be rich in good works? Say you're driving your Mercedes. Stop talking about car. You're driving your Mercedes. How can you be rich in a good work? Give the Mercedes.
Yes, hallelujah.
Do you see this? It's the same thing. Can you give a Mercedes if you don't have one? That's called stealing. You're like Robin Hood. Rich in good works, ready to distribute, willing to communicate, laying up in store for themselves. Everybody say for themselves. A good foundation against the time to come that they may lay hold on eternal life. What's the time to come? Would that be tomorrow? I would think that it would have to do with the time to come. Like, well, right now. From when I said before, it's right now. Well, no, it's now. Wait, no, it's now. You understand, this is the time to come, now. Are you people here? So when are you laying this up for? Well, you know, I give it away and then I'll never have anything ever again. No, until I get to heaven. That's the religious bone. Cut that thing out. We should come up with some surgical way of removing that from people. Well, God did. It's called his word, and it's sharper than any two-edged sword, and it'll divide asunder the spirit and the soul and all these other weird things that are in there. Are you getting excited about this? This is you. Don't hope in the uncertainty of riches, but hope, trust in the living God who richly provides you. Once again, he's saying after you've given the thing that's rich, he's telling you to give rich things. Now he's saying he's going to richly provide you with all things for your enjoyment. Who is your job? The economy? The president. I hope when the president comes in, he all mails us a check. Shut up. No, president can't mail you the check that God can mail you. Go to 1 Timothy chapter 4. In verse 8, I believe we're making progress here. Bodily exercise profits little, but godliness is profitable unto two things. Oh, all things. Godliness is profitable unto all things when you get to heaven. What? Can't say that. Godliness is profitable. Now, what's the word profitable mean? It's a profit. Okay? It profits you. Now, is it godly to give under the anointing of the Spirit of God? Well, we just said that back here, that he was telling the rich in this world to be not high-minded, but to give, to be ready to distribute, willing to communicate. Godliness. And then he says it's profitable when you get to heaven. No, he says godliness is profitable unto all things. Remember, he said he's going to bless you with all things for your enjoyment. It's profitable unto all things, having promise of the life that now is and of that which is to come. That means the life you're living right now, it will profit you.
Hallelujah.
Let's believe for it. It's the word of God. Hallelujah. Matthew chapter 19. Verse 16. And behold, one came and said unto him, Good master, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life? And he said unto him, Why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God. But if thou wilt enter into life, keep the commandments. He said unto him, Which? And Jesus said, Thou shalt do no murder. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness. Honor thy father and thy mother, and thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. The young man said unto him, All these things have I kept from my youth up, but what lack I yet? Jesus said unto him, If thou wilt be perfect, go and sell that thou hast, and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure, where? In heaven, and come follow me. But when the young man heard that saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. What is this man doing? He's trusting in the uncertain riches and not in the living God who provides all things. You see? What was Jesus? Jesus was preaching the same thing that Paul told Timothy to preach. Charge them that are rich in this world, that they be not high-minded nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God. Jesus is trying to get him to trust in the living God, saying, if you give this, you'll have treasure in heaven. And he immediately thought, that means I won't have anything in this life, and I'll have to go beg on the streets. Could I at least keep a cup to jingle some change in? Here's where the transition takes place, people. I hope you're still here. If you will be perfect, sell what you have, give to the poor, you shall have treasure in heaven. Come, follow me. Now, who would he be associating with then if he was following Jesus? He's missing it. He missed it by thinking, if I give all my stuff away, I'll be associating with something different. No, he would be associating with someone who's really rich. Really rich in this lifetime and in that which is to come. You think there's some great transition that takes place, and this is what cave theology thinks. They think that all of a sudden we go from being rags and stinky in a cave to being translated into heaven, and it's just some magical transformation, and now we have everything. We float on clouds and walk on streets of gold. I tell you, if you go from the cave to that, you're going to be completely freaked out and unprepared. It's like you're serving a completely different God. God is the same in the earth today as he is in heaven. He tells you to pray his will on earth as it is in heaven. You should be praying for the streets of gold. Start laying gold on those streets. Brother, that would cost a lot of money. I know. And then people criticize you. He paved his driveway gold with real gold leaf. Oh, he should have gave it to the poor. Oh, hallelujah, glory be to God forever. Sell what you have. Come follow me. You'll have treasure in heaven. Come follow me. Verse 22, but when the young man heard the saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. Then said Jesus unto his disciples, verily I say unto you, that a rich man shall hardly or have a hard time entering into the kingdom of heaven. And again I say unto you, it is easy for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. And when his disciples heard it, they were exceedingly amazed, saying, who then can be saved? Why would the disciples say this? Well, first of all, they're associating with Jesus, and they knew they always had their needs met. They knew they weren't sitting out on the street with a cup. But the other thing was, who did they associate with as Jews? Who was their father?
Abraham.
They knew that Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob were well off. Joseph ruled all the land of Egypt. Every place they went, God blessed them. They knew that the blessing of God made people rich. And now Jesus is saying, wait a minute. It's hard for rich people to enter into the kingdom of heaven? What was he really saying? He was saying it's hard for people who trust in those riches to enter into the trust that you have to access the glory and the manifestation of wealth that comes from the kingdom of heaven. Diametrically opposed system here. And when this disciple heard it, they were exceedingly amazed, saying, who then can be saved? But Jesus beheld them and said unto them, with men this is impossible. With the world system, it's impossible. But with God, all things are possible. Hallelujah. And eventually, they say that this was the son of consolation. Historians say that this was the man who came in and sold everything and laid it down at the apostles' feet in the book of Acts. He finally got it. He finally figured it out. Glory be to God. And then what did he have? Riches, real riches. But if you don't see that the riches that come from God are more stable and eternal, remember he said don't trust or don't hope in the uncertainty of riches. They're not certain. At any given moment they could be whoop. Are the riches that God have, are they uncertain? They're more certain than what you can see or feel. Hallelujah. Luke chapter 16 and verse 13. No servant can serve two masters. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will hold, everybody say hold.
Hold
to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Mammon meaning money, the monetary system. You can't do it. You can't serve God and the monetary system at the same time. Why? Because one way you'd be trusting in the uncertain riches, the other way you'd be trusting in the living God who richly provides you with all things for your enjoyment. Two different things. Well, I'm trusting in my stuff and God. No. This is what Jesus is just saying here. He's dividing the line. Remember, he came to bring a sword. Cut people right down the middle. Luke chapter 12, verse 32. You guys getting anything out of this? Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Sell that you have. Give alms. Provide yourselves bags which wax not old, a treasure in the heavens that fail not, where no thief approaches, and neither... You know, I know when he was saying this, he looked over at Judas. He says, when provide yourself bags that wax not old, where no thief... Mm-hmm. Right? Where no thief approaches, neither moth corrupts. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Is this a real treasure? And this is where you've got to get over here, people. When you give something, and you do it especially by the inspiration of God, you give something, you now have a treasure that's eternal. Which means, what if you use some of it now? It's still eternal. Is it, now name some kind of a commodity that you can use now and it's still there. The commodity of toothpaste. What happens when you use the whole tube? Is it still there? No. What happened when Jesus multiplied the loaves and fishes? Was it still there? It was an eternal rich. Do you understand? You can keep breaking bars of that gold off and using it, and guess what? It's still there. How does that happen? It's eternal. No, I don't believe it. Jesus did it and demonstrated it. Where do you think he got the loaves and fishes from? Eternal riches. They just kept multiplying. You can't eat that much. You'd explode. And they didn't have enough. He said, oh, what are we going to do with this 200 denarii? It's not enough to even to buy a few loaves for all of these people. They were looking in their pouch. It probably would have been enough in there, except for Judas. I don't know if you people are here or not. An eternal rich. Now, which is better then? What do you think Jesus was telling this rich young ruler when he said, go sell these things? Why? What was he trying to make him poor? This is what the man thought. You just want to touch my stuff. No, he wants you to get that stuff to where it's an eternal riches. Would that have made him associate with poverty? That's what he was thinking. No, but Jesus wanted him to associate with real wealth, real riches, eternal in the heavens, the living God who richly provides all things for your enjoyment. Brother, you're freaking me out. Thank you. You can't serve two masters. It's your Father's pleasure to give you what? He takes pleasure in it. The Lord has pleasure in the prosperity of a servant. Okay? The Lord has pleasure in giving you what? This fake kingdom. This imaginary world. This imaginary gold brick. You think the fishes and the loaves were imaginary?
No.
Let's all pretend we're having a picnic. I'll sit around and we'll just pretend. Those were real riches. Where did they come from? They were multiplied. And what happened? What did the boy do? Did the boy give? He gave those things, and then the blessing of God came upon it by the giving. This gets so, so big, people. And people will criticize you. You know, this is the one thing where it says, if you give houses, you will reap houses 100-fold. Jesus said this. You'll reap houses 100. What are you going to do with 100 houses? I don't know. I guess you'll just invite all your family over to live. 100 houses. He said, now in this lifetime and in the world to come. Why? Because they're eternal houses. Oh, brother, now you're exaggerating. Well, then Jesus is exaggerating. He must have exaggerated all those loaves and fishes. Smoke and mirrors or something. No, he got it. The Bible says he looked up into heaven and thanked the Father for what? What's he thanking the Father for? The lack of loaves and fishes? He looked up into heaven. That's where he got them from. How could he have them if they weren't there? You mean there's fishes in heaven? Yeah. They're eternal. Eternal fishes. You eat them and they like it. They grow right back before your very eyes on the plate. You saw the tail off, a new one grows in. It's like the ultimate all-you-can-eat buffet. And they're probably talking fishes, so they're talking to you at the same time. So, how do I taste? Pretty good, huh? It is your Father's good. Turn over to Matthew 6. It's your Father's good pleasure to give you what? So, does this mean it pleases him that you walk in the kingdom of the world, or does it please him when you walk in his kingdom? Are they different? Did he say you can't serve one and the other? So we've got to make a decision here. At some point, I'm going to stop trusting in the things that are of the world because they pale. I'm telling you, they pale in comparison. The things in the world are usable. They're temporary. They go away. How many of you have the same bar of soap in the shower that you had 35 years ago? Only if you don't use it, but if you use it, where's it go? It goes down the drain. It goes away. It's not eternal. But the eternal gifts and the eternal treasures in heaven, they don't diminish at all. Supernatural people, are you guys game for this? Are we going to learn how to do this? I'm showing you that God commanded us to. He charged the people that were rich in this world. We all said, yeah, that's me. Yeah, I'm rich in this world. But we're not supposed to trust in the uncertain riches. We're supposed to trust in the eternal riches. How are we going to do it? Well, we'll see. Glory be to God. That's what we're here for. We can get in the Word and He can reveal these things to us. He's not going to tell us to do something that we can't do. And I know we've all experienced this to a very small degree, but we're going to increase in this and we're going to please the Father. It says He's pleased to give you the kingdom. I hope you're ready. And the other thing I was saying is this is where people get criticized. You do. You get something new. And people are like, you should have sold that. Gave the money to the poor. Just go, Judas. You're Judas. Judas. Well, they were mad at you anyway. So what do you care? They're mad because you got your brand new fancy thing. Look at you all sparkly and gold glitter covered all the time. Well, I'm just trying to be like God. Deal with it. You should have gave that glitter to the poor. What are they going to do with it? They're poor. The Bible says they're always with, but I don't associate with that. Stop associating with the poor. You're not poor, and you never will be. Get over it. If you've made Jesus the Lord of your life, you will never be poor again, ever, and stop associating with it. You are rich. We just need to learn how to walk in it, don't we? And because we've been trusting, we've learned how to trust in the uncertain riches. We know how to budget our money so we can trust in it so it gets us through the end of the month. Who are you trusting in? What if God says, give the whole budget away? You'd be like, what do I do? Hey, welcome to the world of the glory of God, where it never diminishes. This is the same thing that the rich man had a problem with. It's not a problem if it's only 10 bucks, is it? Okay, I'll survive without McDonald's for one day. I'll give this to the poor. I'll give this into the offering. I'll wait till dinner time. But when it gets beyond 10 bucks, everybody's got their breaking point, don't they? Give your car away. Well, when am I going to drive? Nothing. You're going to walk. But are you going to believe God? Yes. I'm telling you, I've been there. And sometimes it takes a while, but something else shows up. And guess what? You've got an eternal thing there now. Oh, yeah. Oh, that means, no, when you get your the car that you sowed, you get to reap the thing that you sowed. Well, then that's what you reap. And now you got to go sow some more and reap some more. No, it's eternal. You can continue to reap off that. Remember?
Yeah.
Right? Hundredfold. How many cars can you drive at once? And every time you bite off a piece of the fish, it grows right back and likes it. You picture that, a fish on the table talking to you? Try me with salt. I'm much better that way. Oh, how's that? Oh, yeah, that's fine. That's fine. Thank you. Stop talking to me. You're freaking me out. Hallelujah. Did we read this yet? We're almost done here. Glory be to God. But we're not done on this journey, you understand. We can do this. God's not telling you to do something you can't do. Is He? I mean, He's given you these promises. Part of the blessing and the curse was the blessing would be you were to lend to many nations. And so until you're on the list, the lender list of nations, you're not done yet. So snap out of it. Till Tanja's name is on the lender list of where do I go when my country goes bankrupt. Well, we'll go to Tanja, the Bank of Tanja. Go to the Bank of Bolivia. She'll be able to bail us out. Are you serious? Come on. I'm talking about heaven, people. I'm talking about the kingdom of heaven. God is pleased to give it to who? To you. To you. To you. Kingdom of heaven. Who do you associate with? Streets of gold. Jesus shows up. He's got a giant band of gold around his chest. Well, I'm not going to associate with him because he should have sold that band of gold and gave it to the poor. Let's see you tell the risen Lord that. They tried to when he was on the earth. Matthew 6:31. Therefore, take no thought saying, what shall we eat? What shall we drink? Wherewithal shall we be clothed? Who thinks this way? People who trust in the things of the world and don't have it. Do you think that when you got a closet full of clothes? What am I going to wear? Well, some people do. What am I going to wear to the wedding? No, they're not thinking, what am I going to wear because it's cold outside and I'll freeze. Right? Who thinks this way? They think, take no thought saying, what are we going to eat? Who thinks this way? Poor people. They're on the street. They don't know what they're going to eat. Do you understand? Yeah. Don't take thoughts like this. I don't take it. Don't take it. I refuse to take it anymore. Why? Because you aren't a poor person. Brother, I've never heard that before in my life. Well, hang on. Take no thought saying, what shall we eat? What shall we drink? Or wherewithal shall be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. What things? The things they eat, the things they wear, what they're going to be clothed with, where they live, all this stuff. This is what they're thinking about all the time. What are they trusting in? The uncertain riches. For after all these things do the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father. What kind of Father? Your heavenly Father knows that you have need of all of these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and you shall have nothing. You'll just be completely satisfied with your knowledge that you have righteousness with God and he's happy. Is that what he said? He said that if you would seek first the kingdom of God, you wouldn't care whether you're hungry and naked. You would ignore the laughing and the jeers and your stomach laughing at you and growling. Is this what he said? So must be. Look at, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all of these things shall be added unto you. What things? All of the things that you thought you needed to get the same way that the Gentiles got it. He said that if you'd seek the kingdom, you'd get the same things, and they'd be eternal, wouldn't they? Do you remember the clothes not wearing out from the children of Israel? How could that be? You wear it, you wear it, you wear it, you wear it, when it never wears out. What's up with that? Eternal clothes. Oh, you're just talking pipe dreams here. No, these are the words of Jesus. He said that if you sought his kingdom, his way of doing and being right, all the things that the Gentiles trust in and hope for and work for, all of those things are going to be added to you from what? The kingdom. The Father's pleasure is to give you this kingdom. But that's in the never world. That's in when we die and go to heaven. No, it's in this life. Okay, take no thought. I like that. I'm not going to take it anymore. I'm not going to take those thoughts of I need this. No, I don't. I have. The kingdom of God richly provides me all these things for my enjoyment. And you're going to have to get through these hoops. I'm telling you, these hoops that I laid out here today, and there may be some hoops you didn't want to jump through, but you're going to have to go through those before you can actually start living in this glorious provision that comes from the other kingdom, the kingdom of heaven. The clothes, the food, the houses, hundredfold. And with that comes persecution. Why? Because it makes people jealous. Why should Julia have 50 houses? They don't like it. Then she paves all of her driveways gold. She's just showing off. She should have gave it to the poor. Judas! The time we hear that, whack them. Say, Judas! Why? Because it doesn't... Think about this. In the kingdom of heaven, there's more. There's always more. And it never diminishes. So we know what kingdom we're talking about now. Where are we going to put our trust? Where are we going to learn to put our trust? And this is what Jesus was trying to get over to people. This is what he tried to get over to the rich young ruler. This is what he's trying to get over to you. Don't have trust in the mammon. Trust in the living God who richly provides you all things for your enjoyment. And there's ways to do this. We can do this. Everybody say, I can do this. And there's ways to do it, and we're going to get into that because this is a wonderful thing. I'm telling you, when all your needs are met, you don't have any worries about that anymore, do you? You don't take any more thoughts. What am I going to do about that? What am I going to do about that? Nothing, because I'm not thinking that anymore. I'm thinking, this is great to have all my needs met according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus all the time. Brother, I just don't see how it's possible. Well, you know, then Jesus was just wasting all this time on you, I guess. He should have talked about something else. He should have talked about the possible things. Remember, what did he say? With man, it's impossible, but with God, all things are possible. Amen. What's possible? To live outside of the realm of depression and recession? Why do you think this message is so important? It's so important because it's going to be a demonstration of the kingdom of God. What was Jesus talking about here? This Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. What kingdom? The kingdom that provides for your needs supernaturally. I believe there's going to be people who rise up and take this and walk in it. And we can be that people. 2 Corinthians 9, verse 8. God is able. What does it say? God is able. So your pension is able?
No.
Your bank account is able? Brother, if you saw my bank account, you know it's not able. Your employer is able? Well, he might be. The economy is able. The government is able. The president is able. Eve's son was able. Well, that might be, that's probably. God is able to make all grace abound towards somebody else. At some point, you're going to have to believe this. God is able to make all grace abound to you. Right? God is able to make all grace abound to me. One of the best ways to get this down in you is just to say that. God's able to make all grace abound towards me. He's able. Now, is he really able, or is this just some kind of weird something that was put in there just for extra space? No, this is God speaking to you. He is able to make all grace abound toward you so that you always, having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. There's nothing poor about that. Now, who's able to do this? God is, not you, not even you. Well, I am able to make myself abound. No, you aren't. Unto all things, unto every good work. Let me see the amplified there. Now God is able to make all grace, every favor and earthly blessing. Every favor. God is able to make every favor and earthly blessing. Every earthly blessing. He's able to make every earthly blessing, every favor, come to you in abundance. He's able to make it come to you in abundance. Come on, is this in the Bible? What Bible have you been reading? So that you may always and under all circumstances, everybody say all circumstances. And whatever the need, be self-sufficient, possessing enough to require no aid or support, and furnished in abundance for every good work and charitable donation. You want the definition of true wealth? That's it. God making you abound in every favor and earthly blessing. So that in all things, under all circumstances, whatever the need, you're able to abound unto every good work. Who's able to do this?
God is able.
Your pension?
No, God is able.
Earthly riches can't do this. Earthly riches couldn't do it in Jesus' day. They won't do it in your day. It will come by the heaven of God providing for you. Father, in Jesus' name, thank you for your word. Thank you for your glory that's in the word. We receive that into our spirits now. We are being changed by it. We shall walk in all the glory that you've provided for us. We are not a cave-dwelling church. We're a triumphant church, and you're raising us up to fulfill all you've promised in this last day and hour, and we shall do it in Jesus' name. Amen.